You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, we are back. The dynamic duo, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, bringing you another Locked On Wolves podcast. Make sure after we're done with this show to go hit us up on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves. That's the Twitter account for the show. Or you can go at C Molesky or at Trey Flynn NBA. Let us know what you thought of the show. Give us some comments. Tell us your thoughts on the Timberwolves. All sorts of good stuff. Make sure you're going on Twitter for that. Today we're going to be looking at the Atlanta Hawks, Trey. And I gotta tell you, this team is going to be maybe challenging is the wrong word, but it's going to be an exciting, electric game with the way that the Hawks are playing, especially the way that Trae Young is playing now.
Yeah, they've looked pretty intriguing over the past, let's say, 10 games. They've really, even before All-Star break, they've had a couple guys really kind of step up for them and show that they're not just young 23 and under players. They can actually make a difference in these games. Obviously, Trae Young has been out of his mind. In the past three games, he's averaging 29.7 points per game. He's shooting 10 threes a game, but he's averaging 52% from the three-point line, just around. And he's shooting 20 shots a game. So Atlanta has their own Andrew Wiggins, but it's working. And congratulations to them. It's a positive for them in this scenario. And he's only averaging 3.3 turnovers on 8.7 assists. So his assist-to-turnover ratio is a real plus there. So, you know, paired with John Collins, they have a really good duo, two young guys. And like I said in the last pod, I'm really high on Taurean Prince as well. He'll be back in this one too. I think he was out last game, and or he should be. And then Dwayne Dedmon, who has really kind of struck a chord in many GMs' heads this year, because they've noticed that he is going to be a good backup center for the next few years. And he's only on a $7 million deal, averaging 14 points a game, 8 rebounds a game. He's been pretty solid, close to 4 blocks in the past 3 games, which is insane. So they have an interesting lineup. But ultimately, Colton, before we get started really getting deep into this Hawks team, I think we can both agree they're still pretty bad.
Yes, they're very bad defensively. It's a tough team to watch. They're 28th in defensive rating at 112.8 a mark per game. And while, like we're saying, it's going to be a high flying fun team, they're number one in pace this season at 104.46. And over the last 5 games, the Hawks have hit 15 threes per game. That's third best in the NBA over the last 5 games. It doesn't compensate for the defense and the amount of points they give up every single game and the amount of scoring they let every single game. They don't close out very well. They don't guard anybody's top scorer very well. So this is going to be, I think, one of those games where you're going to see maybe a guy like Trae Young put up 28, 30 points and look really fun and be running all over the court and be launching deep threes. But then all of a sudden you look at the box score and Towns is marching his way towards a 40 burger, and it just doesn't matter what these young guys are doing, because they're not stopping anybody. They're not playing any sound defense. They're not playing any defense that is going to save them in the fourth quarter. And so I think it's one of those games where it'll make Timberwolves fans nervous, because we have seen so many times the Timberwolves give up big leads to bad teams, but I'm not sure that they're, when you're looking at the stats, there's not a reason to be crazy concerned when you know that they're going to give the Timberwolves plenty of chances to stay in this game because of how bad the defense is.
For sure. Their defense is terrible. The only way that Atlanta stays in this one, not just because they have the home court advantage, but it's because of what Colton just said with the three-point shot. This team is enamored by shooting threes, and I don't blame them. They have Trae Young. They have Kevin Huerter, so they can do things like that. They have a lot of shooters off the bench. Somehow, Vince Carter is still making three-pointers. I think he's like the 6th leading scorer on this team. And, I found an interesting stat: the percent of points made by the three-point shot. So essentially, the percent of points that you have in a game when it's over that were three-pointers. In the top 10 teams, nine of them right now are vying for a playoff spot. They're really fighting for a playoff spot. The only team that you could argue that might not be fighting for a playoff spot that's been doing pretty bad lately is Dallas Mavericks, but they've already been saying they're not tanking. But every other team on that list, it goes from Houston, Boston, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Detroit, Golden State, Utah, and Miami, all teams trying to make the playoffs right now. And Dallas and Atlanta are number four and number six on that list of points that are from the three-point line. And I think that really does show both of those teams being a precursor to being a really good, solid, borderline playoff team over the next two or three years, because that's the future of this league. And they've kind of surrounded their teams with three-point shooters that can do that. So we are playing a team that, you know, me and Colin talked a lot about, if they don't break up, can be a potential like Sacramento Kings of the East over the next two or three years, which would be a lot of fun for them, and I'm happy for them. But they're just, like Colton said yesterday, they're just not really there yet. So I think we're going to catch them off in this one, even though they only lost to Houston by like 8 or 9 points in the last game. I still think we're gonna come away with this win in Atlanta, but we're just gonna have to watch out for this 3-point team, man. They have some really good 3-point shooters. We can't leave them open. Just can't do it.
Yeah, they've got to be able to close out. I'd like to see some of the guys who maybe are trying to step in for Robert Covington's defensive players like Josh Okogie have a big night steals-wise and get some takeaways. The other thing, as far as just looking at maybe the youth on this team and seeing where it's really apparent, is turnovers. Over the last five games, the Atlanta Hawks are only forcing, or their opponents are only averaging 13 turnovers per game versus the turnovers that they are averaging, which is 16.4 per game over the last five games. So you can just tell that they're a very young team, a very green team, and it shows with kind of some sloppiness there as well. And so I think that turnovers, when you're talking about a Timberwolves defense that has kind of made its name off of taking advantage of turnovers as kind of their big thing, they're not really going to get a ton of stops, but if they can grab some turnovers and get some points and get a differential on turnovers and points off of turnovers, that's really where they've been very strong. And so when you're talking about a team that's so sloppy with the basketball, I think that's a huge edge for the Timberwolves just going into this game with some guys who are going to be able to take the ball away and then getting some buckets with guys like Derrick Rose or Tyus Jones, in transition. I think that is going to be one of the biggest things that this game that the Timberwolves can take advantage of.
For sure. So who do you think is going to get bullied in this one? Are we thinking that like Towns is going to be able to bully John Collins, or do we think that this is going to be like a, Derrick Rose game? What are your thoughts on this one?
I think that Towns is probably in the mode right now where he's going to be able to bully anyone.
Right.
I think that right now the best matchup for the Timberwolves outside of that, because that one's, I think, is a given right now the way Towns is playing. But I think that the backcourt is going to be one where there's just not going to be any resistance from the backcourt of the Hawks against guys like Tyus Jones, guys like Derrick Rose. And so they're going to be able to not only score at will, but I think they're really going to have some space to operate and find guys and run the offense really efficiently, because I just think that they're going to be able to see the floor at probably an all-time high this season, just because I don't think that the defense of the Hawks is going to play uptight at all against them.
Yeah, I can see that. I think we'll see a monstrous game from Towns in this one. I'm just nervous for Trae Young at this point. I think he is probably going to take advantage of our backcourt. Jeff Teague is questionable. He'll probably be out. Tyus Jones played fantastic against De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. He did have a lot of fouls because De'Aaron played so quickly, but he held him to 8 of 24 from the field, and I think he had 4 steals. So I can see Tyus Jones and Trae Young having a real solid outing in this one. I'm excited to see that matchup.
We're going to take a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get back into a preview of the Atlanta Hawks. Cole Molesky, Trey Flynn, just talking a little bit about the stats of the Hawks, getting you familiarized with this team and what they've been doing lately before heading into the matchup with the Timberwolves. I wanted to ask you, Trey, what do you think is going to be a key stat in the box score if you look up and the Timberwolves are somehow losing?
If they're losing in this one, I would look at the turnover differential between both teams, because Atlanta, like you said, they lead the NBA in turnovers and turnover percentage. If they can somehow, if Minnesota somehow does not take the lead in this one and shots just aren't going down, because there's no way player per player that this Atlanta Hawks team can defend Minnesota. I just don't see it. But if we somehow, you know, are losing going into the fourth quarter, but Atlanta has, like, let's say 18 turnovers to our 8 turnovers, I really think we're still going to pull away with the W. It's just that mostly because this is a young basketball team that we're playing, and although I do really enjoy watching a lot of these individual players, they are pretty well coached at this point. They're just not ready, not yet. I think they're a year away, maybe two. And so that'll be the one thing I watch for in the box score. And it's not even an advanced metric. It's really just if this team kind of gets lackadaisical in the fourth quarter, I think the experience, which is a funny word to use for Towns, Wiggins, or Jones, some of these guys, but they've been in the league longer, most of these Hawks players, except for Torian Prince and Dwayne Dedman. I really think the experience of the Timberwolves players will overcome anything Atlanta's trying to do in the fourth quarter, even if they have the lead.
I think bench points is another one. I like that turnover call, and I think bench points is another one that's going to really stick out, just as far as if the Timberwolves are going to be losing this game. Like, you look at the last game they played, and if the fans remember, that's 123-120, a loss in overtime to the Hawks. And you look at the bench points for the Timberwolves. You had Sarge with 7. You had Tyus Jones with 8. You had Gorgui with 0. You didn't really have a huge contribution from anybody off the bench, and you didn't really have like a 6th guy in that game. If you're looking at the numbers, Robert Covington played 45 minutes. Towns played 43 minutes. Wiggins played 41 minutes. Rose played 39 minutes. It was all the starters, and it wasn't 6 or 7 guys trying to make a difference in that game. It was really 4 guys trying to win that basketball game. And so if I'm looking at the box score and it feels like that type of game where it's almost like Towns or Wiggins think that they have to win this one on their own because the Hawks are a really bad team, then that could be a problem. That could be a real problem if your rotation's tight. And granted, it was a different coaching staff at that time. I like this coaching staff more. I think that they've been a lot better at getting a bunch of different guys in and being versatile with the rotations and being versatile with who's out there and how you're attacking different teams. And so I like this team better than I did with the last time they played the Hawks. But that's one thing to pay attention to, is how's your bench doing against this young team? You should have a bunch of guys in double digits against the Hawks.
For sure. Yeah, I totally agree. The one player even though I'm giving a lot of hype for Trae Young, and I think that the bench points and turnover ratio is definitely going to have a big part of this, even if we're taking the L pretty early in this one. The one guy I would definitely watch out for, and we've already alluded to in the beginning of the podcast, is John Collins. He just had 20-12 game in his past game against Houston. He's been doing fantastic over the second half of the season. He was injured a lot going into the first half of the season. But he's been doing fantastic. He's been playing really, really well. And I'm looking at our lineup, Cole, and I have a question for you, because I'm not too sure if we should maybe stick with the Dario start in this one or Taj Gibson. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with John Collins, and Karl Anthony Towns is going to go against a pretty good defender this year in Dwayne Dedman. And even though Towns will take him apart, it's still a pretty good defender, so he'll hold his own. I'm maybe thinking that we should switch. And hear me out here. I think we should maybe think about switching Wiggins over to the John Collins defense here in the 4. And I'm only saying this because of the length and the body. I don't think Dario will be able to keep up with John Collins, and I definitely don't think Taj will. And I think somebody like Wiggins although definitely will get muscled in the paint if he gets there. He'll luckily have Towns there still. He can keep up with him from the three-point line and down the court. And I think if, you know, Coach Saunders kind of told Wiggins to take a little bit off on offense, like how he did against Sacramento, where he was only 3 of 10, and kind of just defend his man, which is what he did against Harrison Barnes, holding him to like 0 points, I think, or 4 points or something like that. I think that would be a good idea in this game. I'd like to see Wiggins and Collins. And then I'd like to see Tyus Jones on Trae Young. You can get Josh Okogie on Kevin Huerter. And then you can bring Luol Deng at the three and have him sit at Bazemore. Like, I think that would be an interesting lineup. I'm not a head coach. I'm not going to have a conversation with Ryan Saunders or anything. Like, this is all speculation, but I would really enjoy and like to see Saunders differentiate this lineup, kind of make it more dynamic against a Hawks team that is pretty dynamic. I know right now it's not the time to change a lot of things. I just think it would be an interesting look against the future of basketball and these small fours, and kind of let Andrew Wiggins put most of his, his effort on the defensive end rather than the offensive end, and kind of give this Hawks team a different look. What are your thoughts?
I don't hate the move, and I'm always up for switching some things up, just trying some different lineups, trying to throw a couple different things at a different team, because each NBA team is obviously bringing some new pieces to the table, so I'm all for that. My problem is I'm looking at the day. This is a Wednesday game, and it's against a bad opponent with not a lot of wins. It really seems like one of those classic Wiggins checkout games.
Yeah, for sure.
Where he has like 6 points and he doesn't really do too much on defense. It really does. You know, I mean, the other night it was against the Kings. This was kind of a prime game in a playoff race. And so maybe he came out for defense a little more. It just feels like one of those games where he's not going to try very hard. Because we've seen this game before from him where he doesn't try very hard against the bad opponent in the middle of the week. And so resting on him defensively, especially against a guy like John Collins that could really kind of flip a quarter for the Hawks with the way he's been playing and the way he can dominate specific set parts of games, it just seems like you might need another contingency plan if that doesn't work out. You might need to see, like, okay, well, maybe we could throw a little dang on him and see what happens there. Or maybe Anthony Tolliver can get some turnovers against him, a wily veteran. I think you might need a contingency plan because I don't know if Wiggins shows up.
Yeah, for sure. Wiggins went 5 of 14 from the field in his last game against Atlanta. I think it was a Tuesday game, too. So you're correct in saying that he doesn't play very well in these kind of games, in these midweek kind of games. Maybe it just has to do with him playing too much Call of Duty. We had one of our Twitter followers, Alan, ask us a question about Call of Duty, I think it was, or someone did, I think it was Alan. And Alan was asking why Andrew Wiggins looks so gassed at times. And I don't even know if it's gassed, Alan. It's more so that Andrew Wiggins oftentimes does what Colton's saying. He takes off games. That's what it looks like, at least. And so that's what's happening in these. And so it was just an idea because in our last game against Atlanta where we lost 123-120, Dwayne Dedman almost put up 20 in the paint against Towns. John Collins put 21 and 10 up. He had most of the points in the fourth quarter. I just get nervous that we'll see a game just like that. It was just an idea, something to think about. But maybe you're right. Let's not change anything up on these Wednesday games.
Staying fast. Fact-based, that was actually Adam reaching out to us on Twitter. Adam, thank you so much. At I Am Hartwick was reaching out asking about Wiggins. And you know, it's a fair question why he can't seem to lock in every one of these games, or why he looks exhausted sometimes, even though it doesn't seem like he's really contributing in a huge way. We're going to get to some predictions here, but after another break for sponsors. Cole Molesky, Trey Flynn, we've given you some matchups to look out for. We've given you some stats that we think are going to be key, some things that we think are going to be shown up the box score if the Timberwolves are going to struggle. And now I'm going to offer a cop-out stat and a prediction here because I think that Towns, if you're looking at the box score and the Timberwolves are winning, it's because Towns is on his way to another very destructive night against the Hawks. It was not long ago that Towns dropped a 50-burger on the Hawks, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, I think that he is going to have a really monster night. I can definitely see like a 38 and 20 from him as far as points and rebounds. I think that he could have a couple monster blocks. I think that he's just going to be everywhere. He's going to be playing really well. He's going to come up ferocious, and he's going to be the reason they win. That seems really obvious, but it just feels like he's going to continue what was happening in the Kings game right into tonight's game against the Hawks. And I have the Timberwolves winning 110 to 104.
Okay, I like this. I'm actually going to say that Minnesota gets the W, but I'm going to say it's a little bit more high scoring. I'm going to go 118 to 110, maybe 108. I like the double-digit win possibly. I just think that Towns is going to put up another monstrous game. And I know it's just going piggybacking with what you're saying, but just looking at this past game and looking at how physical he was and how on both ends where he just would not keep up, or he could keep up with anybody, I'm getting excited about that. And the fact that he's going into center in Dwayne Dedmon, that's pretty good on both ends this season. A little bit like Willie Cauley-Stein in the sense where he can maybe catch him on an off night and just take advantage of him. The one thing I would watch out for Towns in this one, and this is where Atlanta can pull away with the win if they wanted to, is if they decided that they wanted to go away from the three-point line and really drive to the cup, the basket, and really try to get a little messy down there and try to force Towns to foul a lot of these games. Because if they're watching any film, and if you're a Hawks listener, please don't tell anybody, if you drive to the basket and you get physical with Towns, and Towns just swings his arm like he does sometimes, these referees just call him no matter what. So he had 5,030 minutes against Sacramento. He's averaging over three fouls a game this season. It's definitely something to watch out for. He definitely is leading the league in some of the, I think he's top five in centers for fouls per game. Like, it's been a huge problem that we haven't really talked about this season just because of his monstrous games he's had and his dominance over the second half of the season. But if he gets in foul trouble early, you can expect them to jump right back out to the three-point line and really take advantage of this Wolves team. But I still have Minnesota winning this one. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll play smart. It is in Atlanta, but I still think we'll be okay. However, I would like to shout out Isaiah Cannon. He's not on a 10-day contract with us anymore. He is let go. But RIP Isaiah Cannon for Minnesota Timberwolves jersey. It was fun watching him. I think me and Colton were definitely more excited than most people with him on this team, and I wish him the best. But we did, and the only reason I'm bringing this up, not just to say Isaiah Cannon, but the only reason I'm bringing this up is to say that we did sign Cameron Reynolds to a 10-day contract. If you don't know who Cameron Reynolds is, he played on Stockton Kings this season. He's a 24-year-old forward. He was undrafted at Tulane in 2018. He's a 3-and-D guy. For the Stockton Kings, he averaged 42% from three-point line on 7 attempts per game. He's a solid 3-and-D player. And I think it's interesting that we took him. I think that it shows that Robert Covington might not be back in the next week, and that's what I was alluding to yesterday. That's what I was hearing, and I think that people are pretty close to that. But it could mean he's coming back still. I just think that we are going to give guys I think we're trying to figure out who's going to replace certain players, like Lou Alding next season is probably not coming back. But I think it'll be an interesting look. I'm glad that we're taking chances on these young guys, and hopefully we can see, if we take a big lead against Atlanta tonight, we can see guys like Cam Reynolds coming in and give us a different look.
I'm going to miss you, Isaiah. I'm going to miss you. Cannon, I'm going to miss you.
Oh, man.
I got to say, I can't get excited about this next 10-day contract guy like I got excited about Isaiah Cannon. But you know what? Sometimes all good things must come to an end. So moving on. Wish him nothing but the best. I don't know. I think that 10 years from now, you and I will still be talking about Isaiah Cannon, and everyone else will be like, wait. Who? Wait, what?
Me and Colton are tanning on Cannon Island currently. And Colton has multiple islands. If you haven't noticed, De'Anthony Melton, Deion Waiters, you can name any random ass player in the league and he would be on that island. But that's Colton. He knows he's low key college guys. His guy's Melton, and now it's Cannon, I guess. We're on Cannon Island with you though. That's the only island I'm on with you. Every other island can sink, that in my mind.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say about my random love for these players that end up I just get upset about for no reason on random Thursday nights while I'm watching basketball. But hey, this is the life. This is the life that I lead. So that's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to tune into that Hawks game. Hit us up on Twitter while you're watching. Let us know what you're angry about, what you're excited about for the Timberwolves. And we might, if you have some questions, we might just shout some more guys out on Twitter tomorrow when we are back with another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.